actually the longest title of any talk I've ever given in my life, so I'll just say it's on XML and B2B applications. One of the most interesting areas where Linux gets used is in the whole server arena and anything related to the internet, web things, internet gateways, ISPs, and so on. I think one of the greatest opportunities for the future in this space is business-to-business applications, and so what I'd like to do this afternoon is to tell you a little bit about them, about the role of XML, and about the kinds of software structures that are likely to emerge over the next few years to serve the business-to-business arena. So just to give you a quick overview of what I'll talk about over the next hour, the first thing is that we're entering the, I've heard some people call it the third inning of the internet, which is business-to-business applications, where you use the internet not for communicating between people, but rather for communicating between machines. Second thing is that XML is going to play a key role in that as a standard for exchanging structured data between enterprises over the internet. I'll talk a little bit about that. Turns out that XML is great for one piece of the problem, but there's another big piece that is not present yet, and that's the integration between XML and existing enterprise applications. That's going to lead to a new kind of server. You can think of it as the analog of a web server, except for business-to-business applications and with a different set of requirements for what it has to do. And I'll talk a little bit about that and give you an example of an XML integration server that my company Scriptix is building, and then also talk about a particular aspect of that, which is how do you make these things programmable and flexible, and I'll talk a bit about the role of scripting in that and argue that scripting is going to play a big role in the business-to-business arena and for XML integration servers. By the way, I'd be happy to take questions and comments as we go. If we start running short on time, maybe I'll cut them off, but I think we have plenty of time. So the outline of the talk has five parts. First, I'll talk a little bit about B2B applications, what they are, why they're important, how they're going to evolve. Second, I'll give a quick introduction to XML. How many people here are already fairly familiar with XML? Looks like many of you. Third, then I'll talk a little bit about what an XML integration server is. I'll first talk about it in the abstract and then give a specific example, the Connect product from my company that you can pick apart for better or for worse as an example of that. And then lastly, I'll talk about the role of programming in these and scripting, in particular my own favorite scripting language, Tickle, and how that relates to all of this. So first, let me talk about where B2B comes from. If you look at the development of the internet, I think we are now entering the third revolution. The first internet revolution was, I call it e-publishing, basically making information available to people on the internet via your website. The second revolution, which is the one that's burning totally out of control right now, is e-commerce, where you allow people not only to collect information from your website, but also to purchase things, to do transactions via a website. This has led to a whole bunch of companies. You know all their names, Amazon, eBay, E-Trade, eToys, almost anything that has E in front of it. And the style of communication is that you have a bunch of enterprise applications sitting inside your firewall, communicating over the internet with users sitting at web browsers on the other end. So it's user-to-application transactional communication. That's the revolution that's raging right now. But the third revolution, from all analyst expectations, is going to be bigger than either of the first two. And this is the business-to-business revolution. The idea here is to take business processes, the most obvious example is purchasing, but there are many others, take business relationships and processes and automate them using many of the same web technologies that have been used for previous things. The difference is that instead of having users at one end of the connection, there are applications at both ends. So it's application-to-application communication. Ideally, you'd like to get the users out of the loop. No users, no browser. It's machine-to-machine communication using the internet. You've probably heard some of the wild and crazy estimates for this. The Forrester Research has made the estimate of $1.3 trillion in business-to-business commerce by the year 2003, $1 billion in infrastructure purchases to support that by the year 2003. Many people believe this is going to be the largest of the three internet revolutions so far. Some examples, the most obvious examples have to do with everything in the supply chain, how parts get from one company to another, get packaged up into bigger things that are then sold to some other company, and so on. The whole food chain for manufacturing and supply chain. And that can take several different forms. Some of the most exciting forms are the new trading communities that are emerging. Ariba and Commerce One are examples of companies that are that are driving those, but there are many other examples also. VerticalNet and Chemdex and all these different spaces, e-steel, little trading communities are forming over the internet where you can buy and sell goods, do various kinds of auctions and reverse auctions and so on. Besides the trading communities, you can also use business-to-business just for more traditional sort of single company-to-company relationships, buying hunks of plastic for manufacturing or petroleum products for the petroleum manufacturing process and so on. But everything in that supply chain, once you've set up a relationship with a supplier or a customer, you can imagine automating the fulfillment of that so you get people out of the loop. So the supply chain is probably the biggest example of B2B. But there are other examples also. Information management. So, for example, some of the new websites that are portals and that collect information from various other places, it'd be nice to automate the collection of that information. Things like news feeds for stocks and other kinds of news things, everything involving information, you can imagine exchanging that automatically over the internet. The last area is financial transactions. Anything involving money, people are going to want to automate to reduce errors and increase the accuracy of the transactions. So why are people doing business-to-business things? Four reasons. The most obvious is saving money. By getting people out of the loop, you can make things more efficient and you can eliminate errors. One of the biggest sources of cost in the current manual processes for doing business-to-business transactions is the paperwork gets lost. That gets eliminated if you have B2B over the internet. So cost is the simplest and most obvious benefit, but actually I think the biggest benefit for B2B is going to be what I call reducing latency. If you automate the relationships between companies, then information can flow across those boundaries very quickly. Without the automation, with people or paper involved, information tends to flow much more slowly, which means that it's much more difficult to make timely decisions and to adapt to changes in the marketplace. And let me give you an example. This one is actually a real example involving two computer vendors. Let's just call them Manufacturer A and Manufacturer B, and you can probably guess who they are if you think about it a bit. Manufacturer A was highly automated in all of its interactions, all through the supply chain. It takes orders direct from its customers, so they do that directly over the web or by calling in. All of its relationships with its suppliers, highly automated, so it has heavy usage of B2B already today. Manufacturer B tends to do things the more traditional way, where everything is sold through distributors, which means that the manufacturer ships computers out to a distributor, and then a few weeks or months later, they get sold to people at the other end. Very little tie-in between direct ties between the manufacturer and the people buying the machines. At the same time, the manufacturer is not automated in its relationships with its suppliers, so it has to order in bulk, has to plan way ahead in order to make sure there's enough stuff there when the manufacturing needs it. Manufacturer A orders things in very small quantities automatically based on the manufacturing systems. In fact, they basically order the parts for your computer at the time you order your computer instead of planning ahead. So why does this matter? Well, it turned out that at one point a new disk drive came along that was a bit more expensive but had a whole lot more capacity than the previous model of disk drive. Wasn't clear how much uptake there was going to be for that in the market, so both manufacturers started offering machines that had the new drive or the old drive. Turned out that nobody wanted the old drive anymore. Manufacturer A discovered this almost immediately because they could see that the orders coming in were all for the new drive. They had almost no inventory of the old drive anyhow, and they immediately switched over production to the new drive, stopped ordering any more of the old drive, managed to get rid of all their old drives easily from the few people who still wanted them, and were up and going with the new drive. Manufacturer B, on the other hand, had this distribution channel between it and the customers, so they had no idea that, in fact, the customers weren't buying the old drive, and it kept stuffing machines with both kinds of drives out into the distribution channel, not realizing that, in fact, they were piling up in the distributors and not being purchased. Meantime, the supplier of the disk drives noticed that manufacturer A wasn't ordering anymore and knew that manufacturer A happened to have this very low latency mechanism where it could predict what was happening in the market. So the disk drive manufacturer instantly realized it needed to get rid of all of its old disk drives. So what it did was to go to manufacturer B and offer an incredibly low price on these old disk drives. Manufacturer B thought this was the greatest thing it had ever heard and bought a warehouse full of old disk drives. About 2 or 3 weeks later, manufacturer B started getting some indications back from the channel that the old disk drives weren't selling. In fact, it suddenly realized that it wasn't going to be able to sell any more of them. And not only that, but all of the machines that had been pushing into the channel with the old drives started coming back again. So it was stuck not only with a warehouse full of these old disk drives that it couldn't sell, but also with a bunch of machines that it already built that were coming back from the distribution system.